Call to order this special board meeting for the Drexel Bravo Heights Board of Education on Monday, August 5, 2013, at the Education Center at 7 p.m. Roll call, please.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Here. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Approval of the agenda. Are there any changes?
No, I didn't think, however, that you and I talked that part of the discussion tonight might lead to CBCC board representation, so that's not on the agenda, but...
Yeah, let's actually...
Formally put it on.
Yeah, let's add that as F2, CBCC board appointments. We'll just have a discussion. We won't be voting on anything tonight, but we'll have a discussion. Kathleen, is that...
That's wonderful.
To them, okay?
Yes, thank you.
That is all that I'm aware of. Thank you.
Okay. With that, may I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Resolution to proceed with the placing of a 6.3 mil renewal levy on November 2013 ballot as set forth in tab 1. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Mr. Dosen, seconded by Mr. Jansen. This is the same levy as we proposed. This is our second reading of the levy, right?
Yeah. Yes.
So I will just mention that I was at a picnic this past week where I was talking to some people about these levies, converting them from a renewal to a continuing, and several people that I talked to were unhappy about that, which is according to, you know, our vote, how the vote's been going, that's the majority seemed to like that, but I just thought I'd pass that on. I told them that I would pass it on to the board, so that's what I'm doing. Any other discussion?
Gear up for a full-blown levy campaign because, you know, it's an active topic of discussion and deserves it.
Yeah. Well, and as we've discussed before, converting it, there are benefits to converting it to a continuing, and we have discussed that allowing the public to vote on it and make a determination is appropriate. If they want to say no, then we'll revisit it. So this is how the public expresses its view on this issue.
For my purposes, based on people that I work with, the reasons why people aren't interested in seeing this continuing levy?
Those individuals that I spoke with?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, yeah. They said that, one of them didn't want to see any levies at all. Another didn't think that it was appropriate to do any renewal levies, that they should expire completely and then you should put them back on as a new levy, which I informed them if we do that, the amount actually goes up because if you have the same amount of levy, because a mill is worth more now than it was before. And but he just felt that that's the way it should be done. And somebody else thought it was trying to sneak something past them, which we're not trying to do that. So that's sort of the gambit.
It sounded like a couple of those people may not vote for the renewal levy regardless, whether it's continuing or not. Was that your read? Or
Because,
I mean, the important thing is people who decide I would have voted for the renewal levy if it stayed limited, but the reason I'm going to vote against it is because I don't like it being converted to continuing.
One or two people probably would have felt that way. The other few that I talked to probably are going to vote against it no matter what. And then just another comment. One woman commented to me that she felt that anytime we put a levy on in May or some special election, that we're simply trying to sneak it past the voters, which I think there is a sentiment to that effect out there. There's a belief in that. And that may have been true in the past. I don't believe that that's this board's intention.
It'll go up in November.
Well, this one will go up in November, yes. I'm just kind of commenting on some other things.
A whole gamut of feedback.
Yeah, I got a lot of feedback.
You just have a lot of negative friends.
I guess. I mean, they're friends. I just met these people, but they just decided to unload on me.
All right.
But nonetheless, those are all things that have to go into a communication plan.
Sure.
But the, I mean, there, and there's an element in truth sometimes in probably in the past where some levies probably were targeted for special elections in order to tip the odds maybe in favor, but we've not done, I mean, we, you know, that's, you know, from our standpoint, you know, it's all about the timing and when we, you know, what the horizon looks like and how many times you have to be, you know, to pass it, you know, you gotta leave yourself
right
door to come back again if it fails.
Also in the Brecksville Magazine, I think that's where that letter was, it was also about the subject. Did anyone else see that?
Yeah, I saw the letter.
Yeah, okay. You know, one thing.
And it had some of the points you said in there, so.
But we should point out, I think, is probably part of this campaign, just thinking ahead, is the fact there's still a renewal levy still remaining. It's for, I think, 6.8, to Rick's best memory, it's not my memory. Anyway, so it's not as though voters don't have still a portion of our operating budget on an approval basis.
Right.
It's gonna have to keep coming up for vote, so this is still only a portion. And I think we need to make sure people understand that. It won't help the people who wouldn't have voted no matter what, but, you know, others who still feel that there may be reason to have some money, you know, out there yet to decide on, they will still have that opportunity.
Right.
You know, that I had run into Carrie Kenny, who has done a lot of our literature, on Sunday, and we were talking about the need for, you know, they have those sign, those QV, those squares, so people can find out direct information about the why, you know, they're, I forget what they're called.
QVC.
QR
code. Starting to put those on the signs, so you can see those, and I know Kappa had done that on the back of t-shirts, I think, but right there, it'll be why vote for this continuing levy, and we can just have those points if somebody, you know, but they'll have it immediately at their access this time around this campaign.
There are, I've been involved, Rick and I have talked about this a little bit about the campaign this time, since there are some other issues on the ballot, we want to try to stay as streamlined with the number of items on our literature that's going out. Certainly, renewal to continual, as opposed to fifth in the state here, seventh there, or just get right to the point, because there's going to be so much literature coming to folks' mailboxes that having that big ticket message when they open up their mailbox is going to be important. That might be.
Well, you can put that on the signs we have now. It's just a sticker.
Yeah, pretty interesting way to.
Just for the record, since we've talked about the negatives, we hit the positives pretty well in our last meeting, but I just want to clarify. In the past, somewhere between 65 and 70% of the people seem to want to go this direction. It saves us money by not having it on the ballot every 3 or 5 years, however long this is. It eliminates voter fatigue, volunteer fatigue, and since it seems what the community wants, it seems to be we ought to give them the opportunity to vote for it this time.
We also can't use public funds to run the campaign, so each of the campaigns requires an effort to solicit private donations in order to carry on the marketing aspects related to each campaign. That's an ongoing cost.
And about how much, just for the record again, about how much does it cost to put it on the ballot? Our last one was...
That cost could vary because it depends on how many issues candidates are on there, but we've seen anywhere here in this district from about $10,000 to $75,000, depending on the election and how many other issues slash candidate races are out there. So it can get fairly expensive. The marketing campaign is obviously dictated by what's involved in the activities, but you know, I
think we're seeing it
here. We're what, $6,000 to $10,000 maybe?
About 8,082. It's somewhere in that neighborhood of private $10 bills, $100 bills, industry support that comes to us.
And those are for renewals. And the last one we talked about, it's been on the books 25 years. This one's on the book 10 years. Folks passed it once, renewed it once, here's another shot at it. I think, I don't have a vote here tonight, but obviously recommending it, but it's a prudent decision business-wise that we've been living on those resources for a decade, and the need won't go away.
We don't know what's coming.
That's true.
But this 12.5% contribution from the state is included in this particular renewal as a continual, and we don't know, and that's not a smoke and mirrors type thing. We don't know what may happen before this thing comes up in the next time around with the state legislature and pulling back more funds from the local taxpayers. So I think as we look out over the long term, it's also a very wise and prudent decision on this board's watch to protect the local community from that potential down the road.
Well, the other thing, as Mike mentioned earlier, is that we do have another limited levy that's still active that has to be renewed, and we're still deficit spending. You know, we're projected deficit spending. So, you know, even with renewing these levies, there's still a shortfall in our expense, you know, in our revenue versus expenses. So, you know, for anybody who might look and say, well, wait a minute, enrollment is declining, maybe you won't need that money. You know, we still have another renewal levy, and we're deficit spending. So.
Any other comments? As we're required to do this, have a roll call, I believe, so roll call, please.
Mr. Dozen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Triumph?
Yes. Passes 5-0. New business. Item E1, personal contract recommendations as per the attachments. Resolve to accept the personnel and or contract recommendations detailed in the tab items listed below as per the dates, terms, and other applicable conditions specified as set forth in tabs 2, 3, and 4. May I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
By Mr. Dozen, seconded by Mr. Ziegler.
In tab 2, board members, you have the long sheet in front of you that provides you the rubric information for the individuals that we're recommending to you. And there's one leave of absence there in tab 2. And the required one quarter list is there, but it has not changed. In tab 3, if you're ready for me to go forward, those are all consistent with what we have done. And in the gray, you will see what they are, what the individuals who are being recommended will be receiving in compensation. I would like to bring to your attention, because there sometimes is some discussion out there about volunteers, do they go through the same processes, so forth and so on. You can see that all volunteers are approved by the board. They go through a process and they have the same required, I shouldn't say all of the same requirements, but many of the same requirements as far as certification to get themselves to this particular level to the Board of Education. And in tab 4, you see the retirement there, and that first retirement that you see in front of you for our bus driver and courier maintenance position will become effective on January 1st. We talked about some of this a while back in correspondence back and forth, and so now it is becoming a reality for that individual. You have three resignations there for you. The second one in white is important because we recommended that individual. Their firm realized that and provided them an offer that they could not refuse, and so they are resigning that position, and the final one is moving out of state. And so you see the contract that we are recommending to the board there for the computer technicians, one to replace the one that went to another district, and another one to fulfill the obligation of the strategic vision that the board has moved forward. Substitutes are mostly, if not all, bus driver substitutes there, and then the rank order, recall rank orders are at the bottom of the page. And thank you for allowing us to put these items on this agenda. I appreciate it.
Are we going to have, in our next meeting, I believe we'll have more contracts, is that right, for
yes.
More teachers?
And many times those individuals, because we'll be meeting on the 26th,
be in place. You'll certainly have information on those things pending, you know, all those types of things. But our school year starts on the 21st. Our board meeting does not happen until the 26th. Every January at the board work session, the Board of Education provides a superintendent the opportunity to bring people on board, and they can be officially hired at the next board meeting. And that's where we're going to be on those particular situations as far as personnel. However, you will have ahead of time all of the information that, that we have on anybody that we will be recommending on the 26th.
Okay. Any questions or comments on these? Roll call, please.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Item N, excuse me, E2, resolve to approve the Memorandum of Understanding between the Brooksville-Broadview Heights Board of Education and the Brooksville-Broadview Heights Organization of Support Staff to adjust Section 51, Severance Pay Upon Retirement, Item B, as set forth in the attachment at Tab 5. May I have a motion, please?
I'll move.
Second. I can tell you that in this memorandum, it is exactly what Mr. Burdine and I had worked out with and discussed with the board ahead of time. The only difference here is that this new memorandum includes a four-day in the preschool units they work, the actual week is a four-day week, and so that's a carve-out, and that's for a minimum amount of employees. So it's the language that you expected. However, we do have that one group in our employment whose week is a four-day week because of the structure of the preschool program.
Did we already approve an MOU on this, and this is just...
Yes.
And so this is superseding that last one?
It's an addendum to the last one, including these four, this particular four-day position.
Okay. Other questions, comments? Roll call, please.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Tryon?
Yes. Passes 5-0. Administrative reports, discussion, F1, all-day kindergarten, please.
I'm passing a report to Mr. Dosen, and I'm going to have Dr. Kalodek talk about for a little bit. And the last time we were together, we talked about what was happening with our kindergarten enrollment program. In a recent communication from me to members of the board, I expressed the need to discuss with the board the addition of another kindergarten teacher to meet the needs of the students in this particular program. I'm going to have Carla walk us through these numbers, and then we'll sort of get your direction on what you would like to see happen over the course of the next few weeks.
What you have in front of you is a model of returning all of the students that we had placed at Chippewa and Highland Drive because the numbers at Hilton have reached their capacity. So if you recall, when the numbers came in, and sometimes they just don't fall where you'd like them to fall, they fall in pockets sometimes, Hilton was overburdened with very large numbers. And with the sections dividing them up, it looked as though we could only have one section of all day K at Hilton and two half-day sections at Hilton, and then we could accommodate all of the other students at Highland Drive and at Chippewa. And this model adds an additional class, taking all of the new students that would request all day that are now on a waiting list, move them back to their home school, and take the half-day kinders and move them back to their home schools as well. So we would end up with six all-day classes and six every other day classes. And with the tuition that would be collected, currently $306,800, that would be more than ample for the three teachers that it would cover, because it's half of the day. The board pays for a half day, and the parents pay for a half day. So the recommendation we would be making is that we split the class. We would continue to have, for the next 3 weeks of enrollment, spots at Hilton available for all-day K students, and then we would have plenty of spots at Chippewa and Highland Drive for half-day students. We could not accommodate any other students at Hilton for the every other day because we're already at 22.
Dr. Kalevic, we're still doing every other day?
Yes, all day. Yes.
Oh, all day?
All day,
oh,
every
okay.
other day. So Monday, Wednesday,
so half
day, half
is
day
in
Friday.
The, okay, half day is every day though, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. Monday, Wednesday, half day on Friday, Tuesday, Thursday, half day on Friday.
Okay, I thought we were changing that.
So there's a need to hire another teacher or to increase the teacher by half, or how are
we
doing that?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
And do we already have someone in mind for that?
Well, Mr. Evans will speak to that.
We've reposted the positions because we can post. We don't have to fill, depending on what your sentiments were today.
Sure.
But we did go through extensive interviewing process, and we will look again when we fill spots for other elementaries, so we did have a hierarchy by our rubric of where people fell and who we brought in for the authentic performances and stuff.
So we have some people that we've talked to already that we can
we had several
bring back in.
We had already spent a considerable amount of time vetting, but we do have the positions posted.
Okay, so we've got into, again, that's going to be one. If we approve this tonight, then that's somebody else that will be brought before the board in a regular meeting. Is that right?
Yes.
It is important also to remember that these particular students' parents are paying tuition, so the cost of the board is not what it would typically be if we were hiring a new teacher.
Right.
In another place in the school district. So
is it a complete wash?
That would be a question for Rick, but it's...
It's pretty close.
The design is supposed
to... You have to put a pin in the paper and set your budget at some point.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what it was designed to be.
There's a considerable amount of relief for the board on this position,
right,
because they are tuition-paying parents, and so the calculation was based on hopefully coming as close to even as possible. Like Mark said, you have to make it.
Several districts go through these issues, but... We are starting school so early this year. The first day of formal programming for our new staff is the 15th, which is next Thursday.
Oh, wow.
I'll let it keep going.
Well, I guess we're ready to make a decision.
I think there's some benefit to moving kids back to local schools, especially at this kind of age. And, you know, I mean, I think a lot of it makes sense, but particularly if it's not going to be a financial suck to us. I mean,
when you made your calculations, how did you pick them on the step?
We took actual teachers, costed them out, the ones we knew we had in kindergarten,
yeah,
and then we just built the tuition rate for like a mid-range of,
okay,
of that. So if we fill jobs with BA0, arguably there's a little extra there, but we also know that we have teachers assigned there who are top of scale, so you know, it's I think the numbers prove out that we priced it well.
Okay.
Harley, you mentioned that how many did we have on the all-day kindergarten waiting list?
As of last Friday, we had 7.
And were all those still staying in the district in the half-day program, or are some
no.
of those,
no,
they were?
Some said if nothing opens up, they're going to go elsewhere because they need an all-day program.
Okay.
Right.
Which is another reason to pull the trigger on this too.
Keep them forever.
Yes, yes.
Some
and that's what I think Mark is asking.
So they know this answer.
So right. We're at 118, Rich, so that could go to
125. Did he say some are not interested at all?
Yeah, I hear it may go to 120. I think there's 2 out there for sure that are waiting the answer. But we only had how many last year, Rich?
63.
3.
So we've almost doubled this year.
Really?
Wow.
So your decision to do this was a good one.
Which was our hope.
Right. Yeah, no, the plan worked.
Right.
Good.
Let's not fight it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
All right.
All right. So I guess
we don't have a formal motion here, but the consensus of the board is to move forward. So I guess you'll bring to a formal, the formal motion will be within the actual hiring. We don't need a formal motion for this, do we?
No, I think the board is informed and we're getting some direction from you as to how you'd like to see it play out. The recommendation will come to you at the next board meeting and then you can act on that.
Let's just make clear, is anybody here opposed to doing this on the board? Okay. All right, there we go.
As we continue our discussion about kindergartners, last year's Chippewa kindergartners have moved into the first grade. And with a few extra kids coming from some other places, we now have on our Dazzle chart, or our Dazzle software, 82 students signed up for three sections or three teachers of first grade at Chippewa. And that number is 27 per class, and that is not what the board's expectation was when we put together numbers. And so we really need to talk also about the first graders at Chippewa. If we have another teacher in there, it puts the class size at about 20.5, and that falls between our 20 to 23 range for our first through third grade students, fourth grade students. So this is the one spot this year at this particular point in time where we have seen numbers that would suggest that we need to add a staff member, except for the kindergarten discussion we just had, but that one is, again, funded by the parent. This one would be, my recommendation is to the board that we need to hire a first grade teacher at Chippewa to have a fourth teacher there so that these students have a class that's in the range that we have agreed to in the strategic vision for the five-year management plan.
So that's going to add about $100,000 in expenses to our to the expense column?
No, it
with shouldn't benefits.
Be I don't think you'll hire that high on the scale at this point in time.
Okay, so what's your estimate?
60.
60, and that includes benefits?
Yes.
Tim?
Can I interject here? Just when we try to determine the sections at elementary, we look at the preceding class, but I also looked at those projections we just got. And I looked at what percentage of kids the year before were in each building and kind of based the percentages on, okay, what would their growth be in each building? Because we don't break them out by section of the city. So I projected so much growth in the three buildings. Obviously, we felt three teachers would be enough with that projected growth. And I think we doubled it. I mean, the growth we expected was like six. So we went up like 13. Six would have put us at 75, which is still 25, but because I think we're in the 60s. I don't have it right in front of me, but that's how much more growth happened in that part of the city.
Right. Rich, just out of curiosity, can you make a comment as to where the growth came from? New people moving in or transferring in from parochial schools or other, or?
I don't have that information from the sign up. It's been very hairy. A lot of this stuff, this happens every year. They're just appointment after appointment. And we haven't really had time to debrief to get that information on it. But again, some leave in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. They go for the all day and they really want to be here and they come back. We do get several move-ins into the cities at various grades. So we recruit some of the kids that leave for kindergarten. Not too many, but we think we got 118 all days this year. We figure we got those probably now. More decisions on the family part.
In my neighborhood, there were letters, families want to move in here, and I've seen a lot of home sales, and I'm in the Chippewa district, so,
the real estate market is doing very well right now, and there are a lot of turnovers.
And then there's been a lot of new children, young children.
I think a new first grader probably
house
moved
Mike
into
sold.
My house.
Yeah.
So some houses are starting to move. And generally, the people moving out aren't going to be people with the kids because they want to stay here because they got, unless they're going out of state. But so I think it's, you're not having that much negative, but you're having positives.
So much for the declining enrollment stuff.
Yeah, I was just gonna comment on that. Is that, does that suggest that the study, the declining enrollment?
You know, the enrollment's not right on, it's not a projection.
Our projection for kindergarten was 224 and we have 225. They switched to all day versus half day. So we're holding our own there. The anomaly that Rich is talking about is something that happens in the summertime.
Yeah.
You get a group of kids and they happen to be young families, which is, in my opinion, a very good issue for a school system to have,
It shows that we are
to our district and the younger grades, that's a good thing.
Shows we've got a good district. We're gonna continue to be perceived as being a good district.
And what I'll do in October, November, when we get the solid numbers after everything shakes out, then I will compare the new numbers as I give you every year to, as our baseline. So what the projections were, that'll be a little different twist this fall, because I have the projections, so you get a sense, okay, where the projections
see what the
close,
go over the
are they not making any sense?
Well, good news, bad news. Good news is we'd like to educate more kids. Bad news, it costs us more money, and we don't get much more from the state. But so we could either hold, say, we're just going to have bigger classes, or we can go back to the size of class that we feel is appropriate, that we previously thought was appropriate. What's, I think, would probably be prudent, especially that we talked about in the first three grades how important it is that these kids get the attention they need. So I'm getting the sense that people think we got to go forward with this.
Yeah, I think we need to do it.
At this age group? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the nice thing is at this school, there's been a vacant room right in that first grade area. There were four in the past, am I correct? And there's been this room, so they'll just seamlessly move in.
You know, it's like you pointed out, the enrollment changes don't happen in chunks. They happen across 13 grades. You know, when there's opportunities to say, we don't need a class, I'm sure you'll bring that forward too. So,
this...
Where we projected, we held tight, because our projection was 25 in a class. I mean, because we don't know who's going to leave that hasn't told us. But we've been studying these, the Chippewa people have been studying these for a month. They keep going double check. So we they're very solid people. I still hold my breath all the time because they look at me if I say they wound up at 75 again.
I can say that this was not a surprise to Rich. He's been talking to me about this for several weeks, and I keep pushing back, go to the numbers. We may have some withdrawals, but we're at a point now where we need to, my recommendation is that we move forward with another staff member, because we're not getting the withdrawals that may have helped us out with this scenario.
You're going to be able to find the staff member you want.
We're going to find a very good staff member, because, again, in this situation, our rubrics, the people that we have interviewed, the authentic assessments that we've seen coming from them, their teaching, we still know there are some good candidates out there. Will they be the 15 years of experience or 9 years of experience? That question is still there. But what we're finding out from what we have recommended up to now, the less experienced but recent educated students that are coming out seem to have a skill set that is desirable for us.
Do they need that reading certification? Do they need the reading certification?
Most of the people that we're seeing,
they either have it or they've got the timelines to complete it.
Okay.
But it doesn't affect those grades now, correct, Carla? K-1, 2.
This year.
It expects third grade only.
Right, this year.
And they're all on a timetable.
Okay.
To get it.
And we're still on our plan for those individuals that are in our district, working with the professional development sequence that we have in place for the upcoming year. So we're moving in that direction for 100%.
Just don't
settle.
I'm going to
interject one more point. When you looked at those supplementals on that one tab, several of those were some of our new folks at the high school supplementals for the different opportunities. Several of them were being staffed by the new people we're bringing in that are taking those on.
But that's not why we picked them.
No, but
okay.
No, but I
know.
No, and now that's not. We look to see what else you might contribute, though.
Right.
But and they have agreed to take on, and some of them, the music person is doing some music stuff. I mean, and such. The social studies person is doing like mock trial, maybe or something. So.
Okay. Are we ready to move on? Okay. F2, CBCC board appointments. Kathleen has some information for us and some actions going to be required in the near future. Kathleen, would you like to present that?
Yes. Recently, House Bill 59 was passed, and what that does is change the requirements for the person who's going to hold. I sent you all that information. Who's going to hold that spot or represent Brecksville Broadview Heights at the CBCC.
As a board member.
As a board member, correct. Currently, I'm the board member. I'm completing my second year there. The requirements were, and I'm just going to go off the cuff, were that you had to be a CFO, a CEO, the head of human resource, or the president of a business. What they're looking for is representation from the community to say these are the kind, this is kind of skill set, this is the kind of jobs that are out there in this community, and this is what we want our VOED to reflect. And so we need to have this in place. I can fulfill my term. It actually goes into effect September like 29th, but we will all be able to complete our terms. So for January, we're going to have to have an idea who that person is. Selena has asked me by August 15th to come to her with some ideas of how we're going to move forward as a district. Every district's going to decide differently what they want to do. Obviously, not every district's going to have a CEO or CFO or had a human resource on their board, so
it could be former, right? Doesn't
former,
it be current?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
Kathleen, does it have to be from the district's board or a member of the community from the district?
It could be from the district's board or a member of the community.
Okay.
I think what else I can tell you. I've talked to other board members, the other nine districts that are at CBCC. And kind of seeing, not that we can decide on our own, but seeing how some of they are going to proceed. And they're kind of torn also on what they're going to do. They're going back to their boards currently and finding out what they're going to do. My recommendation, the one thing that has also changed, which I think is definitely great, and that is a term limit. And it'll be, you can do 2 3-year term limits, then you must take a 3-year period off, and then you can come back. But currently, some board members at CBCC have been there well over 10 years. So, that's probably not good business, as you would imagine. So
whoever gets appointed, that they'll be there for a 3-year term.
Correct.
Unless they step down.
Correct.
And is there some type of a vetting process that validates that you were a CFO, CEO, business owner, had a...
Mark, how that goes. The devil's in the details, and the state's not quite good at that stuff. So, no, these things
So that responsibility falls to this board?
Correct.
Okay.
Currently.
Yes.
The details of all of this and how it's going to play out, everything's general right now. So,
How do you get to an odd number? Does one district have... Two board members, and
yes,
is that still rotating?
Yes.
Is that how that works?
Currently, the way the whole charter was set up back in the 1970s, it's going to stay in place the way the charter was, other than what the makeup of the board is. But everything else will stay in place. That didn't change with House Bill 59. The one point, which I'm sure it's obvious to all of you, but I'll say it, is the benefit. You have to think about when you are appointing somebody from the community, the accountability factor. And the thing is that, we are elected and people are not happy with us. They don't re-elect us. And when you're appointing somebody, and they're at going to be asking for levies at CVCC, you know, I'm not sure, I don't see that accountability factor other than, again, the question came up months ago, who is that person accountable to? Again, that never has been answered. Okay, are they accountable to the community? They didn't elect them, or now is this person accountable to us? Because we did appoint them. And that question's still out there.
So HB 59 did not address that issue?
No, it did not. No,
so,
it did not.
So we as a board, if we pick a candidate, that candidate is there for 3 years, and then if this board changes,
correct,
the new board just has to inherit that same candidate for the next 3 years, or
yes,
can they say we're not happy with that,
you know,
that
Mark,
person, or that's not our choice?
Can you recall the ambassador?
Yeah.
You know, Mark, I don't know that. I don't want to answer. I don't know if it's a year, like the way I was, you
right,
kept appointing me. I know
right,
it
make
had
a
term of it. I don't know that answer, and I'll
that's
get
right,
that. So, yeah. Because I also said if you didn't, well, if it was one of us and then you're not reelected, then we're going to have to reappoint again. Which
right,
is, so.
Well, actually, now they're talking about it, it seems like if we appointed someone on this board who did not get elected during the middle of their term on the CVCC, since they're not required to be a member of this board, they would probably still continue in place on the CVCC board.
Correct,
right.
Yeah. Well, yes, that would not, and that'd be a plus, you could look at that as a plus maybe on the plus side of why you would want somebody,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a plus or a minus, but
I don't know.
It is.
Selena, you know, in closing, Selena asked me, to maybe have an idea how we want to, as a board, move forward. I talked to David about this. Do we want to get language in, much like a vacancy, and this is how we appoint people? I don't know. So it's not constantly this question every year of how this happens. We either, make it one of us, you know, who fulfills that requirement, and then we'll have a second, you know, a process of how we're going to find that person if one of us don't have those, you know, requirements. So, you know, that's what I'm bringing to you tonight. I guess we need to at least decide or give me some input on your feelings of how you think this should go. I think I sent you enough information. That's all the information I have. Other than recently I got a question and answer thing, but it's still, you have everything that you need to make that
decision. What's the significance
of
August 15th? I mean, if it doesn't have to be done until January,
well,
don't we have a little more runway?
We do. However, it's our work session for CVCC, and so for planning purposes, for discussion purposes, at that work session, Selena asked that maybe we have a general idea, we're not held to it, on how we feel, because oftentimes I'm asked, how does your board feel? I'd like to be able to bring that back.
So your appointed term ends?
The same as ours would, December 31st.
Okay.
Yeah, whenever the first board meeting is in January. One other, and it's not really significant to us, but there's a couple board members that have 2-year terms there. They will not, so they will be staying still into that 19th year mark probably. But they're so they're staying still. So again, there's gonna be, you know, a little bit of time for this whole thing to turn over and actually be completely in place. So.
Yeah, I would just comment that I think probably the first time out in this new format, we'd be better served to have a board member be that board member, because we have a lot of the issues that are gonna be coming up over the next couple of years. As you said, they're probably gonna be looking for some money. I just think for continuity of thought, even almost, it'd be better served if somebody from this board were on that board as opposed to us just selecting somebody from the community who might be very well, you know, qualified
right,
to be able to represent
right,
the community, but then would have to get very involved in what we're doing here too, just because of the financial and, you know,
well,
levy issues.
Maybe. That person's going to be in charge of representing our students. It's a lot more than simply representing.
Yeah.
You know, the business community, and that's the problem, actually, you know, and
that's a challenge.
This actually started by a gentleman from a southern state where he didn't want educators, basically this is what, you know, he didn't really want a board made up of educators, to to be quite honest with you. So he actually wanted them with a background in this industry. It was a problem we didn't have necessarily here, other than the term limit, I would tell you, but this is, you know, this is what we have now. I had also talked to David. I agree with you that this next time, that's who it should be. Maybe even thinking that it should be the head of a chamber of commerce, you know, somebody who represents a large amount of business rather than just one, like, you know, one business entirely. I mean, you can see where that what happened. You represent yourself basically. So, and then what's in our trouble is what city they picked from in our case.
Well, I think it would be best if someone on this board had the qualifications and was willing to do it, that we ought to go there as our first choice, and then the second choice would be to fall back to somebody in the community.
Okay.
Any other opinions?
My inclination, I don't know if there's... Yeah, noodle it over, but that sounds sound.
Just out of curiosity, I think there's two people on this board that would have those qualifications, so. Do you have those qualifications, Mark?
Not as well as the other two gentlemen on the board.
Sure.
Think you might have to look at your resume and just right check now. Into that.
Mike's crossed.
Hiya.
Man.
I don't think as a lawyer I have that.
No, I'd like
qualifications,
to see that. I was waiting for her.
We're now going to have to investigate you.
Yeah.
We can beat the standard.
With that side
step.
Get in
line.
Okay,
so I think that's, you have a sense now of where we're
going. Well, this is what we are saying, that we, for this term, we're not going to come up with a, this is how it's going to be right now. We're not comfortable doing that, but for this next year, this is how we're going to proceed, is appoint one of us who meets these qualifications. Okay.
If possible.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. That concludes our agenda. Anything else that I mentioned one thing. I got a call from somebody involved with the Republican Party who was starting up various groups for the next election cycle, and they want a group put together with educators, board members, and such things to be involved in kind of getting the message out. And she called me, and I said, well, I might be willing to do something like this, but just so you know, I'm not entirely happy with what our Republican governor has done here. And she said, well, I understand. There's fair differences of opinion. So I said, well, with that in mind, I'll participate. Next thing I know, I get a letter that says I'm the Cuyahoga County coordinator, which kind of surprised me. So I don't know if that's just a form letter, if I'm now officially the Cuyahoga County coordinator, and which I don't know if they, maybe they'll give me some clout with the governor, you know?
Volunteers take one step forward.
Yeah, I know, exactly. So anyways, I'll keep you informed of what happens with that. Which
I didn't get that letter. That's weird.
Did our email system get hacked?
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. Well, it's not ours. But I asked. It was the fact something.
The facts.
Whatever it was called that was set up previously. And I asked Scott to do something about that. I don't know if we want to. Anyway, Scott, is that going to get filtered?
But it already is, I think, John.
It already is.
Okay.
So I wasn't supposed to open those links?
I just wanted to see what the thoughts were. Every time I'm like, oh, God.
I'd love
never
to do this,
thoughts.
But now I better not do that.
All right. Well, with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, it was shocking.